Blog Talk Radio.
On tonight's episode of Confession Session.
What's up with that future shit? What's the last thing Bow Wow heard before being knocked to the ground? Amber Rose criticizes the Me Too movement, but supports the slut walk. And in an overhead of a plane was the final breath taken by a dog who died on a flight. What's good, y'all? This your host, Angel Vondrina.
And I'm your host, John Othello, and you are listening to the one and the only Confession Session.
Really? The music sounds better than your intro. We can just listen to the music all day if you're not going to do it right. What is up with you? Why you not yelling? You don't like the yell?
No, I mean, the yell is fine. You know, sometimes I just got to rest my vocal cords. That's it. You know, I'm just trying to be classy today. That's what I'm just saying.
No, that's not being classy. You being brand new.
But, you know, I'm chilling. I'm off today.
Yes. Oh, my God. You made it. You made it.
Yes. Was off for most of yesterday. I had to go to a meeting, though. But other than that, it's cool. But, you know, so it's official. I can talk about it. You know, I was in like a good mood on Sunday, but I wasn't like, you know, certain. But I got into this program at the University of North Carolina. It's like this coding course that is like super dope. But yeah, like it's accelerated.
Awesome.
Like, yeah, it's a 6-month program. But once I get out, a nigga will be coined. You know,
People, they really do need coders, especially
yeah.
on like Oracle. Oh my goodness, there are so many codes that I can help motherfuckers come up with, because that's a system I work with and I know the type of shit that we need. You know what I'm saying? So yes, I can't wait. I'm gonna be like, you gonna need this. I ain't gonna say it all on the air. Give motherfuckers my ideas, but
right.
But I holler at you privately. But congratulations,
definitely.
That is absolutely amazing. That is awesome.
Thank you.
I feel like it's a really good program to be in because computers aren't going anywhere anytime soon.
They are not.
And we all need things coded. And I mean, that just comes with so much. Like, you can code anything from a simple, you know, in probably your eyes app, up to like a massive like website, you know, or knowledge management system, you know, it would be crazy. So that's pretty dope.
Thanks. I'm so excited. Like, I read like it's super intense, but I'm not worried. I just know like I really am gonna have to like put my head down and get to work and, you know, make sure I like stay organized and get shit
right?
done. Huh?
At the end, you'll be done before the year is over with, right?
Yeah, I'll be done in November. The course starts in May, but I'll be done in November. Mm-hmm. But I was reading, like, reviews on, like, students who took the course on, like, Rate My Course, and they were already saying, like, they had jobs at, you know, like, potential companies that I want to work at in, like, positions.
Wow. Like
$95,000. So I'm just like, if I can just get a job like that fucking psycho, like, that would immediately like change my, like, you know, not as far as, you know, I'm not out here trying to, you know, push no BMW or no shit like that, but I'll just be able to save so much more and be able to do like,
what's wrong with pushing a BMW?
I just don't feel like I'm gonna be moving like that until I'm a millionaire, you know. But
relax, you are so dumb. $95,000.
No, I'm serious.
You can afford a little ass $300 car note, okay?
No, but that would be stupid when I have a car right now. Like, why would I do that when I have a car right now?
Yeah, of course. Like, I mean, yeah, that's stupid.
Yeah, like, maybe once, you know, I push it to the limit, you know, in the next 3-4 years, then, yeah, it'll be time and I'll get something nice. But I can't see me doing that shit right now. Just changing my whole lifestyle, moving to another house. Like, no. Like, niggas is going to be trying to save as much as they can and do what I really need to do so I can really get the coin on my own and I'll be working for the man. But I'm so excited.
I didn't realize you were trying to find a new, like, you know, career otherwise. Because, you know, I actually heard today a man say at my job, he said, a job is something that you have to do. A career is something that you want to do. So
yeah.
While you're taking this course, I feel like you are going to go ahead and try and get this career going, and I didn't realize.
I am in school for associate engineering, so that's like part of that will be learning how to code. So it's like if I can like get that out of the way now.
What are you talking about?
Have I never said that before?
Jen, I swear, see, you call yourself family, okay? Like, this, I don't know
I'm
nothing
like
about
getting
you.
Back in school for like. I feel like
oh,
I'm
you know
definitely
what? I'm
definitely.
Yep, you
yeah, I'm
like
what?
To school right now.
You know, I just don't be. I just be getting shit done. I don't be like trying to stress out
complaining
about it.
Complaining like me? Oh, okay.
No. But nigga, I understand because this is like the you know you in the last like. Trimester, you know, as far as when it comes to school, shit, you got like one semester, like not even before you graduate. So, shit, I can understand why you stressed out, but this is, I know I got a long way to go. Like, I got to complete this course and I got to take my black ass back to the school that I'm at now and I got to finish there, then go to grad school. So, it's just like, I'm not going to be looking
oh,
up until I'm like 32. So, it's just like,
that's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, y'all got to start somewhere, shit. Y'all got to start somewhere.
But, right. But if I'm going from a position making, you know, 110 to, you know, 160, you know, with this degree,
then you're just going to get
that'll be
a
late
as
fuck.
By Ricky, you know. Like,
you said
what?
You're
going to say it. You're going to get robbed. Like, well, what's good? You know, you're making $160,000 a year. You can afford to allow me to rob you, like, one time. Come on now. You can replace this shit.
I'm not saying right away, but I definitely feel like by the time closer to, you know, me being finished with undergrad, I definitely should be making six figures. But,
nice.
Yeah, yeah, I'm excited. I'm like, super excited for this. And like I said, I got in contact with, you know, people that I've, like, met and, you know, and they're going to help, like, mentor me and keep me on the road and, like, let me know, like, as far as what I should be looking for with this whole, you know, boot camp course. And then also, like, where I want to go in my career as far as, like, engineering. So I'm
okay.
Excited, nigga. I'm super excited.
You should be.
So it's just
it
a good week. Yeah. What's it going on with you,
fun.
Though?
Thanks. Same old shit. You know, just... I'm trying to knock shit out, get shit done, and not think about my surroundings. Just keep it moving. That's pretty much it. It's nothing new. Next week, though, I do find out the genders of the kids. So I'm excited about that. At least I hope I find out. Like, I'm tomorrow makes 4 months. Like, I should be able to find out, like, at 16 weeks. I mean, shit. Let me know something. but anyway, so that's pretty much all. So we're going to go ahead and move on to those confessionals, guys. But don't forget to check us out on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube, Tumblr, SoundCloud. And, of course, this podcast from Vlog Talk. Send us those confessions at confessions@us@gmail.com. And don't forget to like, comment, rate, and subscribe. If I ain't said it already, I probably did. Don't forget to also tag us in the drama. So, actually, before we get into those confessionals, it's something I actually want to say to you guys.
Okay.
Calm down, okay? Calm down. So I just want y'all to stay tuned. I actually have a random topic, and Jen, I want Jen to think. So just stay tuned. We're actually going to go straight into those confessionals, but I want y'all to stay tuned for our random confession, question type of topic. It's going to be good, so keep your ears open. All right, let's go into those confessionals.
Absolutely, y'all. So first confessional, and this is about Miss Belcalis. Belcalis as in Cardi B, Bardi B. According to the grapevine, TMZ is reporting that the world's most famous procurer of bloody shoes, Cardi B, is pregnant approximately 6 months along, in fact. The news will likely come as no surprise to fans who have noticed her increasingly covered-up looks in the last month or so. The rumor mill has started churning during Super Bowl weekend last month and officially went into overdrive when Cardi accepted her iHeart Music Award in an Empire-waist Christian Siriano dress with enough layers of skirt to make her look like an upside-down cotton candy cone. Fans wonder, could Cardi B be hiding something? TMZ reports that her baby is due the first week of July, but that won't stop Cardi from making money moves. She's still planning on performing at Coachella next month, and she announced during her iHeart Radio speech Sunday that her first studio album will be dropping in April. Sources tell TMZ that Cardi is still planning to tour with Bruno Mars come September, no more than 2 months after she brings a mini Cardi into the world. As Belcalis herself would say, ow, okay.
Well, congratulations to Cardi B and Offset. I think that's you know, cute, you know, and I'm sure they're going to have a cute little baby with an accent that's chocolate, like they daddy.
Mm-hmm.
But I know it's like a lot of people that's probably criticizing her or whatever like that, but at the end of the day, like, she's living her best life and her own life and her truth, so people can say what the fuck they want to say. But I feel like, you know, she's doing what she want to do, and it's her body, you know, it's her career.
Yeah.
Everybody should just focus on herself, you know, and congratulate her. Shit. That's the last thing she needed is motherfuckers criticizing her for having a baby with her fiance. Like, what the hell?
Right.
So, but
it's
anyway,
not the end of the world.
Right.
It's, I mean, it's not the end of the world. She's rich. She planned on getting married to the man already.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just hope that.
But even if she didn't, like, it's still like, you know, what, it's her life. Like,
it is
her
life.
People be so quick to be like, oh, I can't believe she's so young. Like, bitch, it's people out here.
No, I just think they're just like, they don't want her to, like, divert her career, especially with someone like Offset, who, you know, people are already feeling like, you know, is not what's best for her. But it's like, clearly she loves this man. You know, I think it's going to be a beautiful baby with accent out the wazoo, because you got that. Right, that southern accent with that Dominican accent, honey. But I think it's gonna be exciting. I still do. I feel like Cardi B is going to have a great career. She's gonna have a great run, and she is going to be able to manage doing what she needs to do. And you know, like her performing at Coachella, I still do think that she could do that. And then with her touring with Bruno Mars in September when she has a baby in July, that gives her more than enough time to, you know, get everything right and tight and spend time with the baby. And she definitely could fly with him all over, so, or her.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, good for her, man. Like, Cardi B is just having, like, a hell of a, like, run, dog. She's doing so good. She's came a long way. I was listening to, what's the name of the podcast that we like? But you know, they were talking about, like, you know, how 2016 was peak of reality shows, and they said, like, Cardi B is like when we first seen her, like, on television now, because she was on Love and Hip Hop, and it's just like this thing about her being like this psycho ghetto ass girl on Love and Hip Hop to be on the cover of Cosmopolitan and touring with Bruno Mars and, you know, winning iHeartRadio Awards. It's incredible, you know, so shouts to her. She's doing so good, and, you know, I'm excited for her and to see what's going to happen with that in the future. And I'm excited for this album, too. I feel like this album is going to be really good, so, yeah.
All right.
Where's Nicki Minaj at, by the way, in her album?
Ooh. She did say she was working on it, like, back in December, right?
I think Nicki Minaj is about to come out with some fire, because she just been gone, child. Like, she just, you know. She done gave up on life, or she really, like, it just then got hungry again and back to work. And, you know, hearing Safari come out, maybe he was protecting her, but, you know, I don't know if we talked about it on the show, but he said that he never wrote a full verse to her. So having him say that gives me the confidence that Nicki Minaj would be able to produce some hits on her own without the help of other people. So I just want her to get back to what she used to be. You know, and it sucks when you say that for an artist, because you want artists to progress. But it's just like, her new music lately has just been trash. And, you know, we know that she can do so much more. Like, you know, she was competing with the niggas. Like, in my opinion, she wasn't one of the best female rappers. She's one of the best rappers, period, you know, in a certain time. So, you know, I'm excited for her as well to see, you know, new music. So, yeah, but we can go. I'm sorry, talking too damn much.
If she do something, she pulls something out of the hat. But we have to just stay tuned. All right, y'all. We're going to go ahead and go on to that next topic. Okay, so according to newhiphop.com, yesterday, or maybe it was the day prior, a video of Little Bow Wow getting snuffed in the back passage of a performance venue. The footage shows Bow Wow conferring with his advisor backstage, then cuts to him, like, in his hallway, and a man comes up wearing an orange crew neck, violently shouts, "What's up with that Future shit?" And he pretty much, like, knocks him down. What can be deducted apart from this mere presence of physical evidence is both Future and Bow Wow, they once dated Sierra, and the former, you know, boyfriend had been publicly bitter. He was bitter, you guys, about that falling out. So on Instagram Live, Bow Wow decided to address the footage and the speculation over it once and for all. He took time to ensure that all of those who were interested in the video, pretty much to tell them that this wasn't the entire story. And it was another video that was obtained by the Shade Room, and that allows further, like, commentary. He's just going, doing a play-by-play account of the fight. And, yeah, you know, as for the final record, Bow Wow, he says that you can run with it or play with it as you see fit, but the truth lies somewhere in between. Jen, did you see the video of him getting knocked?
I didn't see the full video. I don't know if there was a full video, but I definitely saw Academics posted it on his Instagram of him getting, like, snuffed or whatever. I think that's always whack, especially it's just, like, clearly, you know, this is not a poppin' nigga. Like, you, first off, you fighting somebody else beef, and it's just, like, you really are chasing clout right now. And I was listening to, like, Tekashi 6ix9ine, and there's another video posted by who is annoying. I do like his music, but it's just, like, I'm... You know, I mean, this is that's a whole other topic, but I just feel like he's always doing the most and he's so extra. But he was just saying, like, nowadays people are just real life trying to, you know what I'm saying, like, get their name out there whichever way they can. And if it's by you attacking some rapper on the behalf of another rapper, then that's what niggas feel like they need to do. But, I mean, it was just extremely lame. Like, seriously, punching Bow Wow. Like, Bow Wow clearly looked like he can't fight. Like, I mean, what are you doing? And he's little. Like, really. You know what I'm saying? What did you take from it?
I was just like, wow. Who, like, came up and just knocked Bow Wow down like that? And yeah, I thought it was crazy. I was just like, damn, that's messed up. He wasn't even paying attention. It was like this big-ass dude. Too. Like, what are you doing? Trying to beat up itty-bitty Bow Wow. You know what I'm saying? Like, he just don't know. You know, the way dude moves so fast.
Don't be
so
corny right now. Don't be corny right now. But no, but I was just like, when I seen that, I was just like, really? Like, what are you doing? And then Bob Bob was caught off guard. He was like, what'd he say? He was like, what's going on? Something like that. Like, some shit. Like, I'm like, nigga, you about to do something.
I think he said, get off me. I think he said something like,
Oh, yeah. Hey, get off me. I'm like, nigga, just stay on the floor and just continue to, you know what I'm saying? Take this loss. But it's not, I feel like if you get sucker punched, that's not really a loss. It's not like you realize got your ass whooped. Because it's like, who's to say, you know, if it was them and he, you know, the guy would do the same thing, even though he probably would. But, you know, you can still give people the benefit of the doubt. So.
Okay, so I hear what you're saying. But listen, you saying, you know, oh, Bow Wow, there's nothing other, but Bow Wow, he gets on and he posts a video, like, you can take what you want from it, but he didn't go down like that. Like, trying to make it seem like he fought him back or just, I don't know, it was just so stupid. I was like, damn, why you just ain't leave well enough alone?
Just leave it. I mean, but we all know that Bow Wow is just the corny man that he is, and he's going to continue to be that. Like, you know, he was great once upon a time, and he just won't let it go. You know, it's just like he just needs to relax and, you know, do movies and, you know, stop trying to act like he's this rich motherfucker that he's not. And live your life. Like, live your life. Like, we live in a day and age where you can literally Google people's net worth. You know what I'm saying? We know y'all not balling like how y'all say y'all are. Like, you be motherfuckers, y'all be renting race and doing all this shit, and then you type in, what's so-and-so worth? They worth $400,000. Like, what kind of shit is that? And that's, don't get me wrong, that's a lot of fucking money. But that's not enough money for you to be driving around no race. That's not enough, that's
that
not enough fucking money for you to be renting private jets. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, no. Like, come on. Anyway,
all right, well, don't be renting private jets. Don't be driving around in whatever kind of cars Jim was talking about. We're going to go ahead and move on to that next topic.
All right, and this is according to VLATTV.com. Vince Staples rehashed Azealia Banks allegedly being assaulted and spit on by actor Russell Crowe in 2016, an event that Staples thinks Crowe's got a pass for. He tweeted, I wonder when y'all going to make a YouTube about Russell Crowe from The Gladiator spitting at Azealia Banks. He can't come to the North and Fantasy 2 about to drop, so we should talk about it, he added. Y'all let Russell Crowe spit at Azealia Banks, but if Tyler Perry spit at Taylor Swift, it will be no more Madea movies. But I'm serious. LOL, but I'm serious. Azealia responded to Vince's tweet, writing on Instagram, crazy. All Kanye did was say, excuse me, then take Taylor's mic, which she handed him, and they damn near canceled him. Crow choked me, spat on me, called me a nigger, and is still being booked for work. It's insane that he really got away with that. I'm really not over it. It's definitely a thorn in my side, plus all of the public humiliation caused by RZA saying I lied just really made just made it worse. Made and makes it worse. I don't know. But yeah. If you don't remember, we talked about it a while ago. Do you remember that whole topic?
Yes, I do. I absolutely do.
Okay.
Go ahead. Are you not
I thought you were gonna just chime in. But I mean, I don't know. This was a couple years back, I want to say, maybe a year. But they were at a hotel room. Obviously, it was a like some sort of party. To me, it just seemed like they were all high and drunk. Azealia Banks said something slick to him, and you know, he took offense to it. She started yelling, and he just, you know, went psycho and she attacked her ass. And she said RZA didn't do anything, you know, because obviously, you know, Hollywood is politics, and he didn't want to, you know, piss off Russell Crowe. So he just tried to, you know, defuse the situation. And then he went publicly and lied and made it seem like, you know, she was tripping. But then he went on the Breakfast Club and he sort of agreed with her. So that's when I kind of knew like she wasn't lying about the situation. So I don't know. But what do you think about him, Vince Staples, bringing that back up?
I don't know.
Comparing it to Kanye West.
Yeah, first of all, the comparison was like he made some really good points. You know what I'm saying? But who is this guy that wrote this article? Is this a black guy or a white guy?
Bro, what article? Well, V-Lad is white. He's a white guy.
Oh, okay. So V-Lad. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, well, the article is really good. I felt like it pointed out some super differences. You know, if Kanye spit on Taylor Swift, oh, God. You know, just let's not let that happen.
Well, no, that was a quote from Azealia Banks. It was on VLADTV.com, and Vince Staples is the person. He's a rapper. He's a black rapper. He's the person that came forward and was just like, so basically, you know, if Tyler Perry, which is true, you know, if he would have done that to Taylor Swift or to anybody, if that matter, would he just have gotten away with it? And the fact of the matter is, no, he would not, even though he's worth way more than Russell Crowe, probably has way more contacts and connections. He's still a black man, so... and you doing that to a little white girl is going to upset a lot of people, you know? So, I mean, I feel like it's fucked up, but I feel like it's the messenger too. You know, who's to know? A lot of people don't like Azealia Banks. I mean, I'm sorry to say. And who's to know if this was to happen?
She's crazy.
Right. And she is. She needs help. She does need help. You know, so it's hard to believe her. You know, I do believe her in this situation that he attacked her. But I feel like she may, and that doesn't excuse it, but, you know, I feel like it didn't come out of anywhere. You know, he definitely overreacted, but, you know, it came from something, you know, and you should never put your hands on a woman. You know, I just want to say that. But I do believe that if it was another black woman, like if it was Lupita that, you know, came forward and said that Russell Crowe attacked her, and then he would be done. Like, Russell Crowe would be done. Like, you know what I'm saying? I just think motherfuckers don't fuck with Azealia Banks. Maybe he's right about it not reaching the height that it should have because she's a black woman, but I definitely feel like it's also the messenger, too. It's the same thing with the whole Monique versus Netflix, you know, and everybody clowning Monique compared to what is the lady from How to Get Away with Murder? Viola Davis coming forward and saying that she's still not making what, you know, a seasoned actress that has the same portfolio as her is making. You know, it's like people are respecting what she's saying because Viola Davis is an A-list actress that's still working, you know, on a top network. And she's saying, you know, she with numbers, we're getting millions of views an episode. And she's saying like she's not getting paid, you know, a certain amount, you know, that people of another race in half her career is, you know, so... I think that's what I think ultimately. It just depends on who's coming from. It does suck, though. You know, men can't be getting away with putting their hands on women, regardless.
Exactly.
Russell Crowe always seemed a little, he always seemed a little weird and off to me and sweaty and gross. So, you know, you know, I never liked that nigga. Since American Gangster, I couldn't stand him, you know. And not because he took the arrow, Denzel Washington. It's just something about him that's just really like, I don't know.
I love doing it.
I don't know.
So, you speaking of men hitting women, did you see the baseball player that was beating up his girlfriend on the
I heard about it. So, did you want to talk about it? Because I'm not too familiar with it.
Well, I don't really have the story behind it. I just want to know if you've seen it. But I just know that he, like, just, I don't know why he put his hands on her, but, like, they came to her door. He just, like, slapped her in her face, like actually, like, punched up at her, you know, knocked her glasses off her face. Like,
wow.
Grabbed her, knocked her down,
not,
and all this
not
shit.
Not uppercut. Did he uppercut
yeah,
her?
Yeah, like an uppercut. Yeah, like an uppercut. Yep, yep. And it was just awesome. It was just really bad. It was just horrible. And then he take her glasses up for her. He hands them to her, like, so she can put them back on her face. And they go down another set of steps. He run up, back up, and out the door, and then come back down the steps, and she's down waiting on him. And he just, like, beat her up again. I'm like, what the hell? And then today, I seen that they're engaged. So
well,
like,
you know, I mean, well, you know the story of the abuser and the abused, you know, so they're good now. They're going to be fighting next week, child. But, you know, that's sad to hear, too. That
yeah,
is so sad.
He's going to end up killing her ass if she ain't, because she actually, that's horrible. But speaking of death, you guys, let's move on to the next topic. So, yeah, speaking of death, as I mentioned, according to NBCNews.com, a flight attendant placed a dog into an overhead bin and did not hear the warning from the animal in the container, but the dog, he ends up dying on a flight in the overhead. So it was on United Airlines, and United Airlines, they apologized on Wednesday. They issued a second round of apologizing for the incident. They said, we have learned that the customer did tell the flight attendant that there was a dog in the carrier. However, the flight attendant did not hear or understand her and did not knowingly place the dog in the overhead bin. United Airlines said in a statement also that, as we stated, we take full responsibility and are deeply sorry for this tragic accident. The incident has prompted outrage online among animal rights activists. And on Wednesday, Senator John Kennedy said on Twitter that he would introduce a bill to prevent airlines from putting pets in overhead compartments. United Airlines said on Wednesday that by April, it would issue bright-colored bag tags to customers traveling with in-cabin pets. And the bags are going to be visual, and so the flight attendants wouldn't have an issue identifying that there's pets in the cabin. United Airlines also mentioned that the accident should have never occurred and that pets should never have been placed in the overhead bin. Sources told NBC News that the flight attendant is devastated. What would you have done if that was Pablo? Just little Pablo, John.
I don't want to bring up Pablo, child. Like, I was, you know, it was crazy because that's what I was thinking about. I was just like, I don't know how I would react if that happened to my fucking dog. Like, just today, you know, when you have a pet, you don't realize how much you, like, love your pet until, you know, you feel like it's in danger. Like, I was walking my dog today, and this dog ran out, you know what I'm saying, and just started going off of my dog. Like, he didn't actually, like, pounce on my dog, but he was just like, you know, my dog is just so nice and clueless, so he was just looking like, what? You know, like, he didn't run. He was just, like, ready to play, and I'm like, Pablo, come on. And I was, like, tempted to kick this fucking dog. Like, I realized I was about to kick this dog. And I was like, move, get out of here. Like, and then, like, when I got back to my house, because I usually walk my dog, like, a couple laps around the neighborhood. And when I got back to my house, like, his parent, the dog's parent came running around. It was like, did you see a dog? Like, did you see a white dog? And I was like, yeah, he just chased my dog. And he just chased somebody else that was riding by on a bike. Like, I don't give a fuck where that dog went. Can you just keep the bitch on a leash? That's a side note. If you know your dog is bad, like, why can't y'all motherfuckers, like, why do y'all refuse to put y'all dogs on a leash if y'all know the motherfucker don't listen and barking every 5 minutes? Like, you don't got your damn dog trained. Like, my dog would not run out, run out the damn house and chase somebody down the street. And I don't even let him roam around outside without no damn, like, that, to me, that just makes no fucking sense without no leash. Like, but I was just so, I was so angry. Like, I was real life tempted to fight this damn dog. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I can just imagine, like, if somebody, like, if my dog would have been in that situation, my dog would have died, like, how fucking furious and devastated I would have. That flight attendant was stupid as fuck. Like, well, first off, why would you put a fucking dog in the overhead bin? That makes no damn sense. Like, that, it clearly looks like you can't breathe out that motherfucker. Like, it's an encapsed, like, place that you put your luggage. Like, what? Like, that made no sense to me. Like, that's why I don't want to even fly anywhere with my dog, because it's just like, I don't even know how that works, you know? And also, I don't know if my dog would just be comfortable, you know, 2 hours just sitting on my lap the whole time. So usually when I go somewhere, I just try to get, you know, either my mom or, you know, one of my friends to just babysit him, because I just, like, but I feel so bad. It was like, I saw the picture of a dog just laid out, you know, like, and I was just like, that is just terrible. Like, but yeah, how did you feel?
I was just like, damn. I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not a pet person, so I was just like, that's messed up. Hope she gets some money behind that. Buy her a new dog, or two or three or four.
But
you know,
yeah, I mean, but it's just like, yeah, the money's fine, but it's just like, it wouldn't be my dog. It wouldn't be Pablo. Like, I wouldn't jump up and get a dog like right away. I would maybe wait another year or two. You know, and buy a dog. But it's just like the connection that you laughing, but it's just like the connection that I have with my dog. You know what I'm saying? It's
calm
just
down.
Like,
I'm gonna need you to calm down. Calm down. I am laughing. Okay, I am laughing.
No, but it's just like, because you don't understand. Like, you have not had that connection with a pet yet. When you get a pet that you actually like, nigga, like, it's different. Like, then it's like your kid. You know what I mean?
What?
Your life.
No, a pet. And I hate when people say that too. I thought we discussed this. People be comparing their pets and shit, like, oh, my kid. Like, no, it's not the same.
I mean, it's not the same level as it's not the same level as a human being. But like, that is something you care about. Like, and
okay,
you
right.
would not want to see any harm done to it. Huh?
25, 30 years. I said maybe in 25, 30 years. You know, when I'm in my 50s or, you know, whatever. Maybe
you just need to get a dog that you actually like I said, that's why I went and researched my dog, and I went to a breeder because I didn't have time for that shit. Like, you know, I always say, I don't like talking about it, but we had a trial dog originally. It was like a pit bull, and that pit bull lifestyle was not on the same page as mine, so we had to let it go. But my Cavalier King Charles, like, I love him so much. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
aww.
He's just so independent and like his own person. And I just couldn't imagine, you know, like, I appreciate, you know, getting off work and coming home and he just looking at me like, nigga, where the fuck you been at? Like, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, they have so much personality, you know? So,
yeah, I know.
I just think having dogs are dope. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I like the fact that you guys go, he protects the house, you know. We know somebody trying to creep in or whatever. Is he a bark? He don't play that, you know. So that's what I like about him, you know. But he just get on my nerves sometimes with all the crying. I don't like all the crying. It gets on my nerves. So, and he just do it every morning, every night. Like, be quiet. We know you have to go to the bathroom. We're going to take you out now. But anyways, you guys, we're going to go ahead and go to that last topic of the evening. And we're going to have Jim take us away with that.
All right, mates, last topic, and this is also, according to VLADTV.com, Amber Rose shared her thoughts on why the Me Too movement has become frustrating for her during a recent interview with The Raw Word, hosted by Michael Eric Dyson and Claudia Jordan. Rose, who has been a long advocate for women's rights, slammed the crusade taking over Hollywood for the bias against minority groups, especially black women. It's kind of very frustrating to me because all of a sudden feminism became such a mainstream thing, Amber explained. Now that white, no shade, white rich actresses start coming out and saying, me too, but what happened to all of us? While women of color in Hollywood, such as Lupita Nyong'o, Gabrielle Union, and Rosario Dawson, have come out against harassment in the industry, Rose believes the movement has left several groups out. What happened to the strippers in the LGBTQ community, Rose said, and the black girls in college? You know, no one wants to talk about these people. Rose closed her remarks comparing the lack of representation for minority groups in the Me Too movement to the pay gap for black actresses in Hollywood compared to their white counterparts. Going past that, even like black women don't even make half as much as white women in movies, Rose said. I feel like it's really going to take, unfortunately, a white actress to come out and say, hey, black women need to make as much as we do in movies for it to actually be a change.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Amber Rose?
Like, girl, she needs to shut up. Like, she's talking about the same exact shit that we've already been hearing. She's talking about the stuff with the whole women actresses. She just came out the blue with that one. And why? How can you go sit up there and criticize the Me Too movement? Out of all the movements, including your slut walk, you want to criticize the Me Too movement. And she's up there like, oh, and we're not talking about the college students that's being this. Like, yes, we are. What are you talking about? We're consistently talking about all of this stuff. It's just we're talking about the events that are currently, that are happening. And, you know, if the events, they seem as if they're going to die down, don't worry, somebody, they usually bring it right back up, and we'll talk about it at that time. You know what I'm saying? But, like, I just feel like she's just trying to be relevant, and nobody's really caring about Amber Rose anymore. And it's just like, stop being so pathetic. Like, I don't know. Sometimes I just feel like she doesn't make a lot of sense. And she really wants to make sense. Like, she's trying to, you know, sound like she knows what she's talking about. But she's just getting facts from different articles.
Well, I have to disagree.
Disagree, like you always do. Go ahead,
then.
Disagree.
Nigga, I don't disagree with you. But, I mean, to me, I just... Go ahead.
Real quick, you're just saying that because her and Savage, you know, They 21 Savage, they stopped talking. Like, but go ahead.
What does that have
like
to do with me?
Because you don't like him.
I don't like 21 Savage. I don't.
Okay, well, whatever.
No, but what I'm saying is I feel like she had a point. You know, I don't know if it's bitterness because of her being a black woman. You know, people aren't as amped for the slut walk as they were for, you know, the whole Me Too movement and her, like, realizing, okay, yeah, you are a black woman in Hollywood, and you're not as famous as, you know, a Blake Lively coming for or a Rose McGowan coming for and talking about rape accusations, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, I mean, I feel like she did make sense. You know, a lot of times we do, you know, ignore sex workers because they have been raped. You know, and that isn't just cisgender women. That's also transgender women as well, you know, go through that. I remember listening to T.S. Madison talking about, you know, the days of her prostituting and, you know, her getting robbed and, you know, raped almost on a nightly basis. But it was just something she had to deal with because it's like you can't go to police because you're prostituting, you know, and also, you know what I'm saying? Like, nobody cares about you. So it's like, I got where she was coming from. And then, you know, she spoke of what we just talked about, you know, there being a pay gap, even though women.
Right, but we know this already. Like, we know this already. This
but what is wrong with her saying it? Especially because we don't know the context that it was asked in.
Reiterate?
We don't know the context it was asked in. Like, they could have said, like,
well,
what are your thoughts on the Me Too movement? You said what?
And so maybe you should have provided that, Jen.
And you're right. Next time, nigga.
Next time, all right.
But anyways, like, moral of the story, I agree with what she was saying. Like, I don't feel like it was too far-fetched. You know, maybe it's the same thing. It's just the messenger. People don't fuck with Amber Rose, so they're just like, really, Amber, shut up. But I agree with what she was saying completely.
Mm.
But, yeah.
All right, y'all. Well, that's it for as far as the topics this evening. And I got a little bitty surprise, so stay tuned. So, as I stated in the beginning of the show, I want to hold a conversation today. And, Jen, me and you, we can agree to agree, or we can agree to disagree, with these clips from one of my favorite podcasters, Brittany Luce from The Knot. And, Jen, it's so funny because you already watched the episode, so you probably already know what clips I've kind of clipped in. I'm going to play right now for our audience, but it's about bitterness, and she just was talking about how she used to be a bitter person and how she came out of it. So anyways, I want you guys to listen to this, and it's from Clips from an Eye, and it's Brittany Luce that's talking. So let's discuss.
The older I get, the emotion that I think that I'm the most interested in is bitterness. I myself was once a bitter-ass bitch with unresolved issues, you know. But today I'm going to walk you through my journey to becoming a slightly less bitter-ass bitch. with partially resolved issues. Most people I knew were in a better opposition than I was. I think right before my 29th birthday, I was traveling, and, you know, I was in the middle of Missouri. I was by myself. I was at the University of Missouri going to speak, and I was just, like, scrolling Instagram, you know, as you do, and I saw this photo, benign photo. I just thought something really bitchy. And, you know, of course, I immediately wanted to text someone and share that thought with them, but something that night got a hold of me. Like, all of a sudden, doing that, just being mean for no reason, it just felt wrong. And I was just like, ooh, I just don't like the way that feels. Like, I don't like the fact that that was a thought that I had. Something I realized is that I was becoming a bitter-ass bitch and, like, making myself unhappy and all, like, stressed out and I'm not sleeping and my joints are all fucked up. I felt like it was manifesting itself in my body. Bitterness comes from some sort of hurt, sadness, resentment, feeling like somebody left you out or cut you off.
Okay, Jen. So I actually have been looking up some stuff on this one website. And before we go any further, do you agree with what Brittany was saying? And do you feel like because of your age, you can be bitter for certain reasons and things like that? Like, because I know you heard the entire thing. I know you see I clipped out a whole lot of what she was saying. But tell me, what are your thoughts and stuff on bitterness and how she found herself and how we personally within ourselves can try and control that? Because I feel like everybody here and there, they have these bitter thoughts and feelings for no reason.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I definitely feel like people in general can be better. Not especially, but I think in what she was talking about, you know, is something that, you know, I can attest to and I wouldn't say I've been bitter at some points, but being in my now late 20s, I'm 27 years old, you know, and there is a thing called the quarter life crisis, you know, which is a real thing where you just feel like, you know, you hear about and you see all these people. No, Google it. It's real shit. It's just like it's like before you're 30, you know, but it's kind of like this point in your life where you feel like, okay, yeah, I'm supposed to be done with college, you know, so they have a successful job, you know, all my friends are doing well, they're getting married. What the fuck is going on with me? You know, and you know, I've come in contact with, you know, great people who are in the same age group as me, you know, and sometimes, you know, in the past, I've thought like, damn, like, why did I fuck up? Like, why did I take school so seriously? You know, when I see, you know, you or I see, you know, Marcus or Victoria, and I'm just like, you know, these motherfuckers is, you know, finished with grad school, and, you know, Brittany in law school, and you about to finish and go to grad school. And it's just like, why the fuck did I wait so long to get, you know, my life in order? You know, so I don't think with me it was ever bitterness, but I do feel like with some people, you know, they do get to a point to where they become like envious and jealous a little bit because they're just like, well, what is the difference between me and you, and why is this working for you but it hasn't worked for me? So I definitely understood where she was coming from, you know, in that certain age group, you know, in late 20s, that's some real shit, you know. Because even I feel like if he's popping, because, you know, I've had conversations with Marcus, and it's just like, in my opinion, I feel like he's popping, you know, and he still feels like, you know, he doesn't really know what he wants out of life. You know what I'm saying? So
he has two master degrees,
you know,
right?
It's different. You said what?
He has two master degrees, right?
Yeah, he has two master's degrees. He, you know, he has a career, you know, he's still like, you know, what am I doing? You know, so, I mean, it's just interesting. It's all perspective, ultimately.
Excuse me.
But, yeah.
So in your opinion, what do you feel like are, like, undeniably signs, or even, you know, I guess I won't say undeniably, what do you think are, like, signs that you are bitter, like, in life, if you want to live a happier life? Like, because based off of what she's saying, I feel like she was just talking about things that she didn't have and the things that everybody did have. You guys didn't hear, but she also mentioned, like, she got fired from her job and she was really upset, you know what I'm saying? Because, well, she didn't really say she was upset. She was just like, you know, she had a whole lot of reasons to be bitter pretty much at the moment. So, you know, she was just talking about work. I feel like things that come with people, like, you know, our age, like, you know, oh, man, we lost our job. Can't pay this one bill, but they bill pay, you know what I'm saying? So, like, just stupid stuff like that. Well, I mean, I guess it's really not that stupid because, you know, it happens. But still, you know, and what's your opinion, what do you think caused people to, well, how about this? So I'm going to say a couple things, and then you just agree or disagree with me. Now, I had looked up some stuff on his website, and this website is called Inspiring Tips, 8 Signs You Are Bitter, How to Stop It and Live a Happier Life. So I read it for myself. I'm like, okay, am I a bitter person? And I read a couple things. I was like, okay, well, could be in some areas, but definitely not in other areas. So number one, it says you don't feel satisfied with your present achievements. So do you think that a person, like, that's one of the signs that you are bitter? Like, because I feel like even with you, like how you said this is how you work, do you feel like that will make you bitter because you're not satisfied? I think that you're doing awesome. You're making a lot of money. You got a nice house, a big one, you know what I'm saying? But all because you didn't, you know, completely finish school right away, you feel funny about that. But do you think that also makes you feel bitter?
I feel like now, no. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because I don't feel like I ever, like, me, I would never say that I've been bitter, you know, because I feel like I was raised differently. Like, my parents always have taught me, like, to, you know, appreciate other people and, you know what I'm saying, and not hate on their drive. Like, you know what I'm saying? Just, you know, what can you take from that? You know, I get more so inspired. But I would say that... me personally, that could be an attribute, you know, you not being satisfied in your life. Yeah, definitely. But I just don't see like me actually.
Well, we don't have to compare
know.
To you. We don't have to compare to you.
Okay.
We just go through it. So another one was you think you deserve more than what you get in life and in love.
Yep, I agree.
You think everyone is out to get you.
Yep.
See, I have a problem with that because I always do be thinking, like, I don't think everybody always has to get me, but I'm always aware of my surroundings, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. Like, I don't think that's being bitter because I'm aware of my surroundings. But I think this is also taken in a different perspective. Like, you know.
I think the article is saying, I don't think it, like, that could be, like, attributed to, you know, like, bitterness.
Being
I don't
bitter.
Think it's saying, like, you know, if you do this, you're bitter. You get what I'm saying?
Okay. So it says that people who are bitter are often blind to how others love and care about them. You don't appreciate how good people treat you.
I can see that.
You don't acknowledge other people's skills.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, that's one thing I was thinking, like, yeah, I literally always, like, acknowledge everybody's skills. Yeah. I'm like, oh, my God, you did this, you did, you know, so it's like, okay, but that one's a good one.
Yeah.
It's hard for you to congratulate your friends on their success.
Because mm-hmm. I feel like bitterness and, like, hating, that goes, like, hand in hand, you know, because you'll see people that always, you know, have something to say about everything, but when it's something as far as like accomplishment that you may be talking about, it's like they're nowhere around, you know.
Yeah.
So
there's another one too. I thought that was a good one too. You know my ass. I'm always there and like, hey, yes, let's do this, like do this. I thought the deepest one to me was number 7. It says you communicate to criticize, not to engage. That is deep. That's deep.
Yeah.
Because how are you in an argument, you know, or just a, like, are you in an argument or are you in a normal discussion? Like, do you converse to correct and impose your own ideas or do you listen and positively contribute to conversations? And that had me thinking, like, okay, when I'm talking to people, what do I do? Now, obviously, I have some things to say, you know, some people are not going to like, but it's just being honest. But I'm not going to be sitting up here bashing you the whole time, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The last thing is, you dislike cheerful and confident individuals.
Yeah, that's clearly.
Yeah, so I think that's pretty much it that I had. It just pretty much said that bitterness is an illness of the mind and the absence of core value that define a happy life. And it can lead anyone astray. So this is, once again, if you guys want to take a look at this, this is inspiringtips.com. And it also just kind of goes on to discuss how you can live a happier life and all of this stuff. I thought it was a really interesting article. But that's pretty much all I have to say, Jen. Is there anything else that you would like to add to this topic from Brittany Lou?
No, that's pretty much it on my end too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it was very interesting. It's very interesting, and I feel like hopefully it reached people that, you know, aren't realizing, you know, that they have some bitter ways or envious ways or whatever. You know, I think also, like, if you don't see the if you can't be happy for people, if you're always like either complaining or, you know, about every little thing you see.
Are you trying to talk about me?
That
I'm always complaining? Oh,
no.
Oh. I'm just kidding.
Do you always complain? I don't feel like you're always complaining.
Oh, maybe I'm not. But anyways, guys, we're going to go ahead and end this show with our confessional. I love confessional. John, what you confessing your love for this evening?
All right. So, and this comes with a favor, but I'm going to confess my love for Dr. Sandra K. Johnson, who is a woman that I've come to know. She's a former chief technical officer at IBM. She also has an engineering firm, but she's just super dope. You know, I hope that she will become my mentor along the way as I pursue my career in tech. But, you know, I've known her for quite some time now, you know, but, you know, over the course of, you know, me speaking with her about, you know, what my plans and stuff, you know, we've been in contact more often. But anyways, she is in this contest for, and I will put the link in the bio as well, for the Tory Burch Foundation, which gives 10 women entrepreneurs money and contacts for,
wow,
you know, whatever their venue is. But I think her story is so dope. But here's a company description of her firm, and it's SKJ Visioneering is a technology development consulting and services firm. It provides world-class technology offerings and mobile app in addition to other software development, technology, consulting, and services leadership capacity and innovation and intellectual capacity. Clients include enterprises, small and medium businesses, academic organizations, government entities, and technology entrepreneurs. I started my business because technology is a significant driver of unprecedented growth and productivity in new and developing economies. This improves the quality of life for billions. The most untapped markets are on the African continent. It is on the precipice of transforming and changing the world through innovative technology. My life's purpose is to leverage my global technology expertise to assist developing countries, specifically African nations, in driving technology-driven innovation, invention, and creativity. I started my company for this reason. I believe my past career experience in IBM, both technical and business-oriented, provided the background that enabled me to walk into my purpose. I'm very excited and passionate about making a difference and, in tandem, driving this company to a $1 billion-plus enterprise. What makes my company unique? SKJV is a financial technology startup founded by a global technology leader and first African-American woman to earn a PhD in electrical engineering in the United States of America. I have a vision to drive economic opportunity in developing countries and improve the lives of billions. SKJV leverages blockchain technology and emerging game-changing innovation to enable funds to be sent home to developing countries. The low-cost, highly secure service enables the funds to be deposited directly into the mobile money accounts of recipients. This is a unique company, founder, and business, one that will be highly successful. The mantra I live by is I'm a phenomenal woman with unique gifts and talents. I live authentically, grow consistently, and serve with humility. She says you should vote for me because I am highly credentialed, experienced technology professional, of 40-plus pending and issued patents. As former chief technology officer at IBM Central East and West Africa, based in Dubai, Nairobi, Kenya, I understand Africa and have a continent-wide network. This equips me to develop blockchain-based G-Remit, depositing funds directly into mobile money accounts. A vote for me, a vote for impact and success. But yeah,
a vote for her, a vote for impact, and a vote for success. That sounds wonderful.
She's just super dope, super amazing, you know, and I'm blessed. Oh, well, of course, you know, my job, but, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's why you asked me to stay there. You be meeting rich folks, man.
That sounds so ignorant. I've been blessed.
You
to
need
meet
to
a
stay
lot
at no job so you can just meet rich people the entire
right,
time.
Right, like, no, it's bigger than that. You know, I know and I've come to know a lot of people, but, you know, I don't ask for anything because I just don't feel like I'm in a position to. So, you know, with me, you know, doing what I come to do, even though I've known her, I reached out to her, and, you know, she was so excited, you know, and we've been keeping in contact, and hopefully, I feel like it's going in the direction of her being my mentor, but hopefully she will become my mentor, you know, ultimately.
That would be awesome.
Get me in the right direction, but yeah, she's just super amazing. Like, I love Dr. Johnson. She's so dope, but yeah.
Yes.
So make sure, I'm going to put the link in the bio, but make sure you all go and vote for her, for this Tory Burch Foundation, but yeah.
Definitely. Your vote, her vote. She needs to vote. Let's all vote. All right, guys, and that is it for the show this evening. You all can expect to hear from us next on Sunday, March 18th, at the same time, 6:30 Central, 7:30 Eastern. And we want to hear from you, so don't forget to like, comment, rate, and subscribe. Tag us in that drama and send us those confessions at confessions2us@gmail.com. This show is Angel Vondrina.
And I'm your host, John Othello, and you are listening to the one and the only Confession.
Confession.
Session! I was just playing
Boo.
Earlier.
Boo.
Good night, man.
That shit was weak still. Good night, Janitor.
Dirty carpets don't keep a schedule. You do. That's why the Home Depot has the Hoover Power Scrub Elite Pet Plus Carpet Cleaner for just $148, over $40 off. Its quick clean mode with heat force helps cut drying time to less than 45 minutes. If you have a schedule to keep, you don't want to sit around waiting on a wet carpet. The Hoover Power Scrub Elite, just $148, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only, while supplies last. See store for details, valid through July 11th. Dirty carpets don't keep a schedule. You do. That's why the Home Depot has the Hoover Power Scrub Elite Pet Plus Carpet Cleaner for just $148, over $40 off. Its quick clean mode with heat force helps cut drying time to less than 45 minutes. If you have a schedule to keep, you don't want to sit around waiting on a wet carpet. The Hoover Power Scrub Elite, just $148, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only, while supplies last. See store for details, valid through July 11th.